The title of the message is Never Leave Home Without It. We've been talking about this for several weeks. This is actually part six of this. And, you know, this is so important. In fact, for the last several years now, I've been teaching along these lines of the things that Jesus taught his disciples, because that's a big deal. And over the years, I began to really look at this several years ago. And over the years, the Lord has just given me more and more revelation on these things. And so, you know, I add to that. So, but never leave home without it. Vitally, vitally important that we understand that God, he gives us talents. He gives us abilities. I'm talking about in the natural. You know, if we know how to do anything, it's because he enabled us to do it. But more than any of our talents and abilities, what God really wants is for us to lean into the Holy Spirit and operate not in our natural gifts and abilities, but in his supernatural gifts and abilities. And, you know, without him, I can do nothing. Without him, you can do nothing. And so this particular thing that Jesus commanded of his disciples was to receive God's power. Now, there are folks that when the power of God begins to manifest, some folks get a little scared. Some folks get a little, you know, I mean, we've had folks show up, they don't know what kind of church this is, and they'll show up, and after a little bit, they're heading out the door. Because they're like, this ain't what I was looking for. I thought we were going to sing three hymns, and, you know, the preachers are going to give three poems and a few points, and we're going to go home. And that's just not how it is here, because we want to allow the Holy Spirit to have room to move. I am not interested in being part of a dead church. I'm not interested in being part of just a local gathering. You know, if I want to do that, I'll go join the Lions Club or something like that. But, you know, thank God, I love you all, and I'm thankful for the fellowship. But, man, I want the power and the presence of God in my life, and I want the power and presence of God in your life. And so I'm telling you, never leave home without it. Receive God's power. Now, it's interesting that the command is to receive God's power, because God is not going to force it on you. You know, we teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and God is not going to force anything on you. Either you want it or you don't. If you just want to be religious and go through life and say, well, I did my duty. I showed up to church on a Sunday morning. It's that whole, you know, stuck in a thumb and pulled out a plum. Pastor Mike says that all the time. Boy, what a good boy am I. And we pat ourselves on the back because we did something we feel good about. Well, we actually got up and instead of going fishing, we went to church. Or instead of doing this or instead of doing that, you know, we went to church. We did our religious duty. But then we don't understand that Christianity is all about not just going to heaven, but being empowered by the Holy Spirit to get other people to heaven, to make a difference, to make an impact in this world. And I want to tell you that you don't have to go far to see the need. You don't have to look very far. You don't. They're all around us. They're everywhere. They're on your job. They're in the grocery store. They're everywhere. So our base scripture is Luke chapter 24, verse 49. It says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. I've read that, well, this is at least the sixth time that we've read that scripture over the last several weeks, because I want you to understand that God never intended for us to do anything for him without his power. He don't need our abilities. He don't need our talents. Now, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to empower us, then he'll take those natural abilities and talents and maybe do something with them. But I want to tell you, what God called me to do was not what I thought I was called to do. And it wasn't based on my talents and my abilities. In fact, it was based on the thing that I feared the most. God, don't make me stand in front of people and talk. When I was a teenager, I started writing songs when I was about 14 years old, and I had a cousin, and he and I played the guitar together, and we'd sing together, and it was terrible. I'm telling you, it was terrible. The songs were good, but we sounded terrible. But people still, they said it ministered to them, it blessed them, and that kind of thing. But I remember, his name is Tim, but Tim was a lot bolder than I was. And so Tim has done very, very well. He's a very successful businessman, has done very, very well in that world, still serves the Lord, but he's been called to business. And so, but Tim and I would go and we would play the guitar and we'd sing, whether it was in a restaurant or at a youth meeting somewhere or wherever it was. And I would sit behind that guitar, and as long as I had a guitar in front of me, I was okay. But when it came to talking, Tim had to do all the talking. I'd sing, but he'd have to do all the talking. And that was okay. That was natural. So, well, it was natural for me to play the guitar and sing, but it was not natural for me to talk to people about the things of God in a public place. And I've told the story before. When I first started pastoring, I used to sit in my office and just shaking and my hands sweating and sick to my stomach because I was going to have to get out there and go talk to people. Now, I could talk to people one-on-one. That wasn't a problem. But to preach, and then to know I had to do this every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I would be sick to my stomach and mad at God that he was making me do it. So what's the deal? God doesn't need our giftings to use us. He needs our yieldedness. He needs our availability. He needs our faithfulness. And then God will come alongside and he will actually gift you in a supernatural way to do something that you could not do naturally. I'd have never guessed that after all these years, it's a lot easier, but I'd have never guessed that he would have me standing in front of people and preaching. And I certainly would have never guessed that he'd have me on the radio preaching and those kind of things. Again, receive God's power. We need his power. I can't do anything without his power. Without him, I can do nothing. So we talked about, I'm going to go through these points real quick. If you need to catch up on the messages, they're on our Church of the Promise YouTube page. They're also posted on my Pastor Dwayne Daigle Facebook page. And if you have Facebook, which some do, some don't, by all means, send me a friend request at Pastor Dwayne Daigle. It all gets posted there. Plus, I post all kinds of other stuff all week long. And so number one, these are the things that the Holy Spirit actually does for us. Number one, he convicts us of sin. We spent quite a bit of time talking about that. Thank God that he convicts us of sin. It keeps us from being reprobates. Number two, the Holy Spirit regenerates us by his power. Again, we run out. We run out of power. We need the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. We leak, right? We have to be recharged. We have to be regenerated. The Holy Spirit does that. By the way, it's the oil of the Holy Spirit that should be burning in our lives. If it's not the oil of the Holy Spirit burning, we're going to burn ourselves out. So number three, the Holy Spirit lives in us. So everywhere we go, he is with us. What an honor to be the carriage that carries the King. Then number four, the Holy Spirit seals us, marking us as his own. I love that one because that seal, I begin to see. I never saw this before, but I begin to see that seal is a mark. Not just saying, hey, you're one of mine, you get to go to heaven, but it's a mark of his authority on us that wherever we go, the enemy sees his seal on us and the enemy has to part. He has to make room, has to move out of the way. The Holy Spirit, number five, the Holy Spirit teaches us. The scripture says that, we don't need a teacher because the Holy Spirit teaches us, but what all that really means is, it doesn't mean that God doesn't raise up teachers, because he does, obviously, in the scripture. It's one of the fivefold ministry. But he teaches us. He lets us know what's true, what's not. What's legitimate, what's not. And he teaches us, as we're reading through that Bible, we're not just reading through feeding our head. He's literally giving us a rhema words, revelation to our spirit. So he teaches us. Then, another good thing is that the Holy Spirit reminds us again and again what he taught us. So again, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is teach us, but then he continues to remind us. It's kind of like, guys, it's kind of like your wife reminding you to throw the trash out again, right? Stuff like that. The Holy Spirit continually reminds us with the things we need. And then the next one is that the Holy Spirit guides and directs our steps. When we don't know where to go, what to do, he guides and directs our steps. Now, again, there's so much stuff that I'm just running through the main points here for review. And then we said, number eight, the Holy Spirit is our helper. That doesn't mean that he is somehow lesser. It just means that he can do what we can't do. He helps us do the impossible. God says, I want you to do this. You say, I can't do that. He says, yeah, well, do what you can do, but the Holy Spirit's going to be there to fill the gap and do the rest, right? So God always tells us to do the impossible. I think about, in fact, we have Joe Don and his wife here. His grandfather runs the ministry. Grandfather and grandmother run the ministry Friendships. How many of you heard of Friendships? Well, and they're part of Friendships. So they run that ministry. But if you hear Brother Don's story or read the book, in fact, we have two books out there that was written by them. It is such a miraculous journey. And they just celebrated 40 years, 40 years Friendships has been around. And to hear them telling some of the stories and how that it just was literally an old boat that was pretty much useless, an old ship. And God told them to get that thing, and they begin to fix it and work on it and do things with it and take it out on missions. And they said, boy, it was ragtag right up front. But yet God used it. They couldn't do it. He had a polo club, didn't know anything about ships, and God tells them to go buy an old ship and use it for ministry. It was way beyond his gifts and abilities, but God made a way. He's the helper. When you're working out, he says, yeah, you can lift 100 pounds. Well, I want you to put 200 pounds on it, right? Well, I can't lift 200 pounds. Well, you just get that 200 pounds as far as you can, and the spotter, the Holy Spirit, the helper, is going to help you get it the rest of the way. You say, well, I can lift 200 pounds, but God says, okay, well, then put 400 pounds, right? And I'm talking about spiritually. I'm not telling you go hurt yourself, all right? But that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He fills the gap, amen? Then we got to this one, so number 9, the Holy Spirit is our counselor. This is our first one, new one for today. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. That word counselor is interesting. The word counselor actually can be translated many different ways. It's synonymous with several words. The word counselor is the same as intercessor, consoler, advocate, comforter, lawyer. Now let's look at those just for a moment, because these are roles of the counselor. Intercessor. What a beautiful thought that the Holy Spirit actually intercedes. I find it interesting. God gave us this incredible gift that people, many, many people in the church and in the general church are very spooked by. In fact, there are people, I invite people to church, and one of the questions they want to know, y'all do any of that weird stuff like speaking in tongues? Because they don't understand the power of that gift. They don't understand the power of a prayer language. They don't understand that it is the Holy Spirit interceding in your spirit to heaven. They don't understand it. And so I always tell people, we're going to talk about gifts in a little bit, but it's very important to understand that there's two kinds of tongues. One is the gift of tongues that requires an interpretation. That is a message from heaven to earth. So you got to have an interpretation because God is trying to speak. He's getting everybody's attention with this tongue, and it's a supernatural thing that no one can explain. But then someone gets this supernatural, has a supernatural gift operating called interpretation of tongues, that where they interpret this message from heaven to earth. But prayer tongues, we call it the prayer language, is nobody else's business. It's the Holy Spirit. Literally, he borrows our mouth. He is infused with our spirit, and he begins to intercede, and we begin to allow him to do that through our mouth, and it's called praying in tongues. And it is a beautiful, beautiful gift. There's no reason for anybody to ever be scared or spooked by that gift. It is a wonderful gift, a beautiful gift. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you, right? He's having to set some things in order in the Corinthian church. And so some people take that and they say, oh, well, sure, it should never happen. And unless there's an interpreter, no one should ever be speaking in tongues in church. It's a misunderstanding of those gifts. You don't need an interpreter for prayer tongues, right? That's between you and the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside of you interceding to the Father. And it is a beautiful, beautiful gift. Let me just tell you a quick story. Some of you have heard this before, but one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced, I was 17 years old, and my parents had gone out of town. Just to kind of illustrate how this gift works, my parents had gone out of town to Texas somewhere, and I was at home, and I remember we didn't have a clock in our living room. We lived in an old country house out on Markle Blue Road out in La Blue Settlement, and we didn't have a clock in our living room for whatever reason. And I wanted to know what time it was. And my parents' bedroom, like ours were upstairs, but their bedroom was right next to the living room. So I walked into their bedroom to see what time it was because I knew my dad had one of them little digital LED clocks with the red numbers on it. And I walked into there and I was standing by their bed and looking across his bed to see the time. And it said 5 o'clock, exactly 5 o'clock. And in that moment, all of a sudden, I was completely overtaken with a huge burden. I don't know how else to explain it, but just a burden. I had never had this happen to me before. So I didn't know what was going on, but just overwhelming, like a feeling of sorrow and just huge burden. All I could do was fall on my knees on the side of their bed. And I tried to pray. I didn't know what to pray or what. And I just began to pray in the Spirit. I knew I needed to begin to pray in the Spirit. So I did that. And I remember thinking while I'm praying in the Spirit, just an illustration of how the two are different. I'm praying in the Spirit, and yet my mind is thinking all kinds of things. When you're praying in the Spirit, you don't even have to engage your mind. It's the Holy Spirit, literally, interceding, using your vocal cords, and you are willingly allowing him to, okay? They spoke as the Spirit gave the utterance, right? You have to be willing. You can shut him down if you want to. So I'm praying in the Spirit, and I'm crying, this deep gut, deep level crying, and most people call that travail. I had never experienced that before, but it was just so deep and almost painful, and just praying in the Spirit. And I don't know how long it went on. It went on for a little while. And then all of a sudden, I had perfect peace. And I remember getting up from there and just going, wow, that was weird. Now, hear me. The Holy Spirit didn't grab my mouth and start making it move. You have to cooperate. But I knew that God was drawing me into allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede through me, through praying in tongues. So I did that. Such peace came over me, but then I was confused because I had no idea what in the world was that about. And when my parents got back home, I remember asking my mother about it. I said, Mom, I told her what happened. And I said, you know, it was 5 o'clock. I looked at the clock. It said 5 o'clock. And she said, well, I don't know. I asked, were you in danger or something? I thought maybe they were in danger and maybe that's what that was about. And she said, not that I'm aware of, but, you know, you never know. It could be that we were in some kind of danger and God needed someone to intercede for us, but I don't know. Well, the next day she was in town and she ran into my youth pastor at the time and Brother Jimmy Lorman. She ran into him and she began to tell him about that. And he said, Miss Daigle, what time did that happen? And she said, well, 5 o'clock. He told me it was 5 o'clock. And he said, I know exactly what that was about, because at exactly 5 o'clock, my father, who was a lineman, you know, electrical lineman, my father, who was a lineman, was electrocuted. Now, he's up in one of these bucket trucks, and he's electrocuted and hit with all of that power. And I don't remember how many volts and all that was, but they said it was enough that no man should live through it. But he was electrocuted and fell to the ground. He was 55 years old. He did not know the Lord. He had had some religious stuff, but he did not know the Lord. But he got to know the Lord after that. Because what he found out was there was a 17-year-old kid who had no idea what I was doing other than I had to yield to the Lord. And at 17 years old, he was so amazed that a kid would do that. He said, I want to meet this kid. Now, I had met him before, but he didn't know who I was. And so what had happened was, when he hit the ground, they said there's no way the man could have lived through all that. He got up, and the only thing wrong with him was some minor burns on his hands. And nobody could explain why this man was alive. It was exactly 5 o'clock when that happened. It was exactly 5 o'clock when the Lord had me begin to just pray in tongues. You don't know when the Holy Spirit is interceding. This is how it is. He knows what's going on out there, and he's looking for somebody who will just yield. Amen? And so this man, at least, was absolutely convinced that this kid yielding to the Holy Spirit saved his life. And so I remember he wanted to see me, and I went to see him. And meanwhile, he had gotten born again and was a different man from that moment on. But he was so appreciative. He said, I heard, young man, I heard that you need a car. I heard you're looking for a car. I said, well, yes, sir, I do need a car, actually. And he said, well, I have one I'm going to give you. So what's the moral of that story? If you pray in tongues, somebody will give you a car, right? That's not the moral of the story. Not the moral of the story. Although it did happen. But that man gave me a car. And I told him, I said, no, you know, it's not like I deserve anything or earned anything. He said, young man, had you not yielded to the Holy Spirit, I would be dead. So I said that to say, the Holy Spirit is our counselor, but he doesn't just give wise counsel. He does. Thank God for that. He is also an intercessor. And when we're praying in the Spirit and he's interceding inside of us, we don't even know what he's interceding for. It could be us or it could be someone else. But he's an intercessor. He's also a consoler. Anybody here ever needed to be consoled? Anybody ever go through something that you, like they say, you know, he couldn't be consoled. The Holy Spirit is a consoler. He can console when no human can. Also, he's an advocate. What is an advocate? He's one who speaks on our behalf. He's one who literally goes before the throne of God and speaks on our behalf. He also is our comforter. He gives us comfort like nobody else can. You know, we've all gone through things. We've all experienced terrible loss. We've all experienced things where we needed the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that Jesus sent him to us. Many times I've had to be comforted when just nothing else could comfort me. And then we have the word lawyer there as well, which is very, very close to an advocate. So it's a mediator, someone who stands in between and mediates for us. I believe the Holy Spirit doesn't just mediate or stand on our stead before the Father, but he also stands on our stead before the enemy and says, no, you're not crossing this line. The next one is, so the Holy Spirit fills all of these roles for us. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures. But when the Helper comes, whom I'll send to you from the Father, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So this idea of the counselor, of him being the counselor, is that he's bearing witness of the Father. He's telling us the things the Father wants us to know. Then John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, this is Jesus talking, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You remember when Jesus, after he resurrected, and Mary Magdalene came to him, and she's trying to hold on to him. She sees him, and because you got to understand, in their mindset, he's Jesus, he's the Messiah. He's a man, but they do believe he's a son of God, but they don't really know the plan of God. And so she wants to hang on to him. And remember what he tells her. He says, don't hang on to me. Don't hold on to me because I've not ascended yet to the Father. You can't keep me here, Mary, because I have a plan that you don't know about. And what is the plan? The plan is I'm going to send the Helper, the Comforter, the Consoler. I'm going to send the Advocate to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and that's going to be to your advantage because I'm limited to one body while I'm here, Jesus, one body. But when the Holy Spirit comes, now that same Spirit, that same anointing that was on Jesus is now on millions of people called Christians, called the body of Christ, called the sons and daughters of God. Amen. What a beautiful thing. That's why Jesus said, you can do the same things I did because you have the same anointing, but greater. How's it greater? On a greater level because you're not limited to one body now. There are as many people as we can win to Christ and get the Holy Spirit living inside of. That's his limit. Amen. So we can do a whole lot more because we're not just one body in one geographical location. So go ahead and tell your neighbor, Holy Spirit counsel. Never leave home without it. Now, this next one, it says the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. All right, so I just talked a little bit about spiritual gifts, but let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11. Now, I've taught on this pretty extensively over the years. Not too long ago, I taught a series on the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Notice what it said, for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom, to another the utterance or word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit. Now, this is not just faith, general faith. This is a gift of the Spirit kind of faith. It's a supernatural faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, I want to clear something up here. Some of you know, if you've heard me teach on this, you understand this, but it's so important that we get this. The spiritual gifts are not ours. They are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're his gifts. We are nothing but conduits. We are conduits by which the gift flows. The recipient of the gift is the person out there needing it, right? So, for instance, healing, or we'll use that one. If someone there needs a gift of healing operating in their life, God's going to find a vessel, one of his children, filled with the Holy Spirit, who can flow, will allow that gift to flow through them as a conduit or a pipeline to that person that needs it. Some people teach this and believe that somehow, because of this, well, God gives us the gift, and I have this gift, and you have that gift, and you have that gift. And then I've seen people start comparing gifts. I've heard a lot of people compare prophecy in tongues, for instance. They say, well, you know, the Bible says eagerly desire the best gift, and Paul said he would rather prophecy than tongues. And they're taking a little something out of context, because he was trying to straighten something up that was going on in the Corinthian church where there was a lot of disorder. But he's not saying prophecy is the best gift. The Bible says eagerly desire the best gift. Well, what's the best gift? The one needed in the moment. I mean, if I need healing, I don't need somebody to come along and speak tongues in my ear, right? Now, unless it's a word from God that comes with an interpretation and God speaking something directly to me, you know, that's different. And all the gifts do work together. But we are not limited to one gift. How do I know that? Well, the scripture tells us that if you, for instance, when you're talking about tongues that requires interpretation, he says, if you speak in tongues, so let's say you're in the context of a service and you speak in tongues and it's the kind that requires interpretation because it's a message from God to earth, then the Bible says if no one else gives the interpretation, you do it. So he's saying you be prepared to allow that second gift to operate through you. So we're not limited to one gift. In fact, many times those gifts operate together. For instance, the Lord will give you maybe a word of knowledge. I get a lot of words of knowledge about specifically having to do with healing. So we've seen this happen. I use Jason as an example. I've used him as an example before. And we're going to make an example out of you, man. But one time, so the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about someone who had pain in their elbow. He can testify about this. You know, he used to be a bull rider, and I think he broke everything. Maybe one ear didn't get broke, maybe something like that. But he had a problem with his elbow. I didn't know this. He never told me this. The Holy Spirit revealed it. I called it out. I remember him telling me, he looked at Lynn and said, did you tell him about this? You know, so he said it was him. I had him come up here. So there was a word of knowledge. Okay. Then the word of wisdom is, what do you do with that knowledge? Well, the Lord says, have him come up here and have some men get up here and pray for him. So he gets out of his chair. He comes up here. We gather around. Men pray for him. I prayed along with him at the same time. You know, and we spoke to the elbow. We, you know, God never told us to beg. He told us to believe. So we walk in his authority. We speak out of his authority. And so we had the word of knowledge there. Then we had the word of wisdom there, what to do with the knowledge. And then we had a gift of faith rise up. Because I specifically remember thinking, you know, as I always do when God puts us on a spot like that, oh, you're going to look like an idiot now. Oh, yeah, what if it don't work? You know, my brain's saying this, but my spirit, that gift of faith is rising up saying, oh, this is about to happen, right? That's how it works. And then, so there's three gifts working together, and then we see the actual gift of healing manifest, and he's never had another problem with that elbow. Am I right, Jason? So my point is this, that those gifts all work together. So I said all that to say, some people take this and they go, well, you know, you have a gift and I have a gift and we just, you know, we each have one gift. That's all God allows. First of all, we have no gifts. We have the Holy Spirit. It's his gifts, and somebody that's in need of gift. Jason was in need of the gifts that day. God spoke through us, allowed his anointing to flow through us, and brought the healing that he needed, met the need. Okay? Everybody understand that? It's not real complicated, but some people try to complicate it. And the ones that usually try to complicate it are the ones that typically, you're never going to see the gifts of the Spirit operating in them at all. And then here's the other thing. Again, they get prideful about it. And how many of you know that if pride is involved in this, the Spirit's nowhere near it? So the gift is not ours. The gift is his. And he allows us, he graces us to allow that gifting to flow through us. So this morning, I want to just encourage you this morning. Maybe you don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you have ever you recognized that a gift of the Holy Spirit of some kind has flowed through you? Now, I'm not talking about just praying in tongues. I'm talking about these nine gifts of the Spirit has flowed through you in some way at some time. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. And if not, here's the real question. Why not? Why would you not invite the Lord to cause those gifts to get into operation in your life where he can flow through you? Because there's a whole lot of stuff he wants to do. And he gave us these gifts, gave them to the body of Christ to be used for his glory. Why would we not welcome that? I always wonder, why would we not, if you've never prayed in tongues, you know, I want to say something. A lot of people say, when they talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, they say, yeah, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit back in 1957 with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Well, tongues is an evidence, but it's not the evidence. And they say that as though it's actually a scripture. I remember the first time I realized that was not a scripture. I'd heard it so many times. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's not a scripture. So it is a evidence, but it's not the evidence. It's not the only evidence, right? But I do believe that if you are baptized or filled, saturated in the Holy Spirit, like I said, like a cookie dipped in milk, if you have been saturated, you can pray in tongues. You can. It's there. It's available for you. But you have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to shut your mind down that tries to convince you that it's fake and it's not real and all this, and you're just making stuff up. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to use your vocal cords, and you have to allow it. It'll rise up. It'll just bubble up and rise up within you. But you have to let it go, and it's going to sound ridiculous. But when you begin to flow like that, I'm telling you, you will know, okay, there's something different about this. It's not just me making up a bunch of gibberish, right? The scripture says, if you ask him for something good, would he not give it to you? If you ask him for a fish, would he give you a snake? If you ask him for bread, would he give you a rock? Well, he's offering the Holy Spirit to us. So when we ask him for it, it's really more receiving. See, that's what this is really about. Receive God's power. So we receive it. And if you've not received that yet, then what's stopping you? You say, well, I don't know. I'm a little scared of it. Well, listen, I've lived this life long enough to know I'd be more scared of not having it operate in my life than to be scared of it. Because praying in the Spirit has gotten me out of a lot of messes. In fact, many times when the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate through my life, it's because I'm praying in the Spirit. And there's something about it. As I'm praying in the Spirit, it's stirring stuff up. In this service time, I'm singing and I'm worshiping, but I'm spending most of the time before I get up here praying in the Spirit. Why? It allows the Lord to stir up the gifts and the things that he wants to flow through me. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never experienced that, it's here for the taking. It's here for the receiving. And then once that's there, once you have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, why not stop there? But believe God now. See, the Bible says that when you pray in tongues, it's edifying you. It builds you up. It strengthens you. But let's not stop with strengthening us. How about, Lord, give me some stuff that's going to help somebody else too. Lord, let your gifts flow through me, because there's somebody out there that needs to be healed. There's somebody out there that needs a miracle. There's somebody out there that needs a prophetic word. There's somebody out there that needs to hear from you. They need to know that you know where they are. You know, Jesus goes to the woman at the well. It wasn't a church service. He's outside in the sun meeting this woman at the well. And Jesus, the Son of God, who left his glory in heaven, he was all God and he was all man, but he left his glory in heaven to live as a man. He was God in the flesh, but he limited himself to live as a man on this earth. And when Jesus did supernatural things, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that came into him when he was baptized. Remember, he got baptized and the Spirit descended in the form of a dove. Jesus never did a miracle until that happened. He was operating and living and doing things by the same Holy Spirit that lives in you and me. That's why the scripture says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so Jesus is talking to this woman at the well, and a gift of, simple gift of word of knowledge operated in him. And he tells her something about, he asks about her husband, and she says, yeah, well, you know, I'm not married. And he said, yeah, I know. You've been married 5 times, and now you're living with a guy. And it blew her mind. What was that? That was a word of knowledge operating through him. It was knowledge that only he could have had because the Lord showed him, the Spirit showed him. And it made such an impact on this woman. She went back to her town and she went and evangelized and told those people, you need to come and meet a man. Meet this guy. You got to see this guy. He told me everything about my life. Now, maybe he said more than about being married, but whatever he said beyond that, whatever it was, it got her attention. Can I tell you that when that gift begins to operate through you, you're going to get somebody's attention. And it will open up the door for you to minister to people in a way maybe you couldn't have before. I've seen it happen over and over again in my life. I pray everything you heard from the Spirit will seed down into your life. Now, why don't we just take a few moments and why don't you just begin to ask him? Ask him to fill you again. Ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit again. Ask him to cause his gifts to begin to operate in you. Come on, let's do it. Unless you just want to be a deadhead Christian that goes to church and does nothing with it, but, you know, looking forward to heaven one day. If you want to make an impact on this earth, come on, let's ask him. Let's ask him. Father, I'm asking you right now. Lord, I'm asking you to increase the operation of the gifts of the Spirit within my life. Lord, and in the life of this church, Lord, I'm asking you to saturate us again. I'm asking you to baptize us again in your Spirit. I'm asking you to dip us again like that cookie in that milk, Lord. Soak us, saturate us with your presence, with your glory, with your power, with your desire, Lord, with your purpose, Lord. Saturate us in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We say, take control. Take your rightful place in our life. Fill every void. Fill every gap, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we receive you, Holy Spirit. We receive you and everything you have to offer. Lord, I thank you that your word tells us that when the Holy Spirit came upon people, when they were baptized in the Spirit, a great boldness came upon them. Oh, Father, may that holy boldness come upon us. Lord, that we would never cow down to fear or intimidation. But Lord, may we be bold for you, Lord. May we represent you well in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, may we never, ever, ever stop seeking you and receiving more of your glory and more of your power and more of your life, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, refuse to be satisfied with dead, dry religion. We refuse.